the following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 27, Text Number 8, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on December 28th, 2016, in Melbourne, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Yajvachaya
upalabdhena
santushta mitta bhuk muni vivikta sharana shanta maitra karuna atmavan. Yajishtaya yopalabdhena santushto mitabhun muni vivekta sharana shanto maitra karana atmavan. Yajishtaya yopalabdhena santushto mitabhun muni vivekta sharana shanto maitra karana atmavan. Yajvachaya, without difficulty, upalabdhena, with what is obtained, santushta, satisfied, mitta, little, bhuk, eating, muni, thoughtful, vivikta, sharana, living in a secluded place, shanta, peaceful, maitra, friendly, karana, compassionate, atmavan, self-possessed, self-realized. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. For his income, a devotee should be satisfied with what he earns without great difficulty. He should not eat more than what is necessary. He should live in a secluded place and always be thoughtful, peaceful, friendly, compassionate, and self-realized. Purport. Everyone who has accepted a material body must maintain the necessities of the body by acting or earning some livelihood. A devotee should only work for such income as is absolutely necessary. He should be satisfied always with such income and should not endeavor to earn more and more simply to accumulate the unnecessary. A person in the conditioned state who has no money is always found working very hard to earn some sort of object of lording it over material nature. Piladeva instructs that we should not endeavor hard for things which may come automatically without extraneous labor and without extraneous labor. The exact word used in this connection, yajitschaya, means that every living entity has a predestined happiness and distress in his present body. This is called the law of karma. It is not possible that simply by endeavors to accumulate more money, a person will be able to do so. Otherwise, almost everyone would be on the same level of wealth. In reality, everyone is earning and acquiring according to his predestined karma. According to the Bhagavatam conclusion, we are sometimes faced with dangerous or miserable conditions without endeavoring for them, and similarly we may have prosperous conditions without endeavoring for them. we're advised to let these things come as predestined. We should engage our valuable time in prosecuting Krishna consciousness. In other words, one should be satisfied by his natural condition. If by predestination one is put into a certain condition of life, which is not very prosperous in comparison to another's position, one should not be disturbed. He should simply try to utilize his valuable time to advance in Krishna consciousness. Advancement in Krishna consciousness does not depend on any materially prosperous or distressed condition. It is free from the conditions imposed by material life. A very poor man can execute Krishna consciousness as effectively as a very rich man. One should therefore be satisfied with his position as offered by the Lord. Another word here is mutabhuk. This means that one should eat only as much as necessary to maintain the body and soul together. One should not be gluttonous to satisfy the tongue. Grains, fruits, milk, and similar foods are allotted for human consumption. One should not be excessively eager to satisfy the tongue and eat that which is not meant for humanity. Particularly, a devotee should eat only prasad, or food which is offered to the personality of Godhead. His position is to accept the remnants of those foodstuffs, innocent foods like grains, vegetables, fruits, flowers, and milk preparations are offered to the Lord, and therefore there is no scope for offering foods which are in the modes of passion and ignorance. A devotee should not be greedy. It is also recommended that the devotee should be muni, or thoughtful. He should always think of Krishna and how to render better service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That should be his only anxiety. As a materialist is always thoughtful about improving his material condition, a devotee's thought should always be engaged in improving his condition in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he should be a muni. The next item recommended is that a devotee should live in a secluded place. Generally, a common man is interested in pounds, shilling, and pence, or materialistic advancement in life, which is unnecessary for a devotee. A devotee should select a place of residence where everyone is interested in devotional service. Generally, therefore, a devotee goes to a sacred place of pilgrimage where devotees live. It is recommended to live in a place that he live in a place where there is no large number of ordinary men. It is very important to live in a secluded place, vivikta sharana. The next item is shanta, or peacefulness. The devotee should not be agitated. He should be satisfied with his natural income, eat only as much as he needs to keep his health, live in a secluded place, and always remain peaceful. Peace of mind is necessary for prosecuting Krishna consciousness. The next item is maitra, friendliness. A devotee should be friendly to everyone, but his intimate friendship should be with devotees only. With others, he should be official. He may say, "Yes, sir, what you say is all right," but he is not intimate with them. A devotee should, however, have compassion for persons who are innocent, who are neither atheistic nor very much advanced in spiritual realization. A devotee should be compassionate towards them and instruct them as far as possible in making advancement in Krishna consciousness. A devotee should always remain atmavan, or situated in his spiritual position. He should not forget that his main concern is to make advancement in spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness. And he should not ignorantly identify himself with the body or the mind. Atma means the body or the mind, but here the word atmavan especially means that one should be self-possessed. He should always remain in pure consciousness that he is spirit soul and not the material body or the mind. That will make him progress confidently in Krishna consciousness. How many valuable instructions Prabhupada has given here. This is amazing. Such mercy in this purport. How to control ourselves properly. How to execute devotional service successfully. not being so much eager for money, 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 being more interested for Krishna, 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 Krishna. Because whatever money you accumulate, can you take it with you at the time of death? How much percentage of your bank balance can you take? Can you take your credit card with you at the time of death? The time of death, you have to leave it all behind. Whatever material opulence or credit you have accrued, you lose it all at the time of death. But whatever Krishna consciousness you have accrued, that is your asset. So in other words, you don't have any asset really except your Krishna consciousness. Every other asset is more or less an illusion, you see. Because ultimately, Krishna is the owner of everything. We may think, well, now I've accumulated this much wealth, so no. We possess nothing, nirmamma. A devotee knows, I possess nothing, you see. There's only one thing a devotee possesses, and that is to the extent that he has surrendered himself to Krishna, to that extent he possesses Krishna. Krishna reciprocates. However much you give yourself to him, he's going to give himself to you. So therefore a devotee is very keen, once he realizes this, that now I must fully surrender to Krishna. I don't want to miss out on this, you see. So that's the first item Prabhupada talks about, is money. And then he talks about eating, mitta bhuk, eating little. Doesn't mean you starve yourself. You take what you need to be healthy, Prabhupada confirms. But to eat on a matter of gluttony is not very healthy for your body, for your mind, or for your Krishna consciousness. So one should not be gluttonous. One should eat according to one's needs for good health. And this way one can, this will help your mind to be peaceful and give you proper energy how to engage in Krishna's service. The next item is mentioned, muni. He's thoughtful. He's thinking of, thoughtful means he sees through the eyes of the scripture. This is called shastra shaksus. It's actually very wonderful that we can develop this thoughtfulness. Very, very wonderful thing. Krishna says, the one who sees me in everything and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. This is thoughtfulness, you see. Being able to see how everything is within Krishna and Krishna is within everything. How much do we actually perceive that? Not so much yet. But if you remember that and you try to practice it, you will develop it, you see, to see everything within Krishna and Krishna within everything. This is called thoughtfulness. And becomes very ecstatic. And then you actually feel how you're connected with Krishna in all circumstances. Whether you're being praised, whether you're being chastised, whether you're healthy, whether you're sick, whether you're wealthy or poor, whether you're young, whether you're old, all these dualities are bouncing us around, you see. Like a basketball on the basketball court. We're being bounced around, you see. But if you learn how to become muni or thoughtful, to see everything through the eyes of the scripture, then you become peaceful and undisturbed by all the dualities of the material nature. So this thoughtfulness is very important. A secluded place. That means you're eager to associate with devotees. Not that you want to go live all alone in the forest. And then you'll take your all material association with you in your heart. You need to be in the association of devotees as much as possible. If you live at a distance, then you come to the temple as often as possible. Or you can, just like we have devotees tuning in, they just got disconnected, we got to reconnect them now. Tuning in via the internet, see, associating via the internet from all over the world. So use modern technology also. If you're living in a place where there's no devotees, then you find ways to connect to the internet. So in this way, somehow or other, always remain packed up in the association of devotees, either virtually or factually. Virtual is also good through the internet. We just got to get them reconnected now. The internet broke. They're coming back in now. We have 13 people out there. Okay. Good. We're getting back in now. Great. Okay, so And then after that, Prabhupada mentions Maitra, friendly. We sometimes say avoid the association of non-devotees, but here it's actually clarified. You are friendly to everybody, to devotees and non-devotees alike. But you have intimate friendship with devotees, and it's more official friendship, you see, with the non-devotees. But actually, a devotee is friendly with everyone. Why? Because Krishna says, Suhridam sarvabhutanam. I'm the best friend of all living entities. So a devotee is Krishna's representative. Therefore, he's also the best friend of all living entities. So we have different ways of relating, but we have a devotee is actually friendly to all living beings, even a little ant. You know the story of Magrari the hunter. And Magrari was horribly trained by his father to kill the animals half dead and leave them and watch them flap in agony as they slowly died. And he enjoyed that very sadistic pastime he had as he was trained by his father. This is how you kill them. So Narada Muni came upon the scene. He was shocked to see this hunter, how he was half killing the animals and relishing their dying agonies. He said, no, better kill them immediately. That was the first instruction from Narada Muni. And then Narada Muni further elaborated, actually better not to kill them at all. He said, just give me your bow. There's Dakshina. And he broken. How am I living? My bow is broken. You just go to this. You and your wife live in one hut, and you worship the Tulsi tree, and I will send all of your eatables. So the people heard the hunter become a sadhu, and they came and bringing so many offerings of rice, and yogurt, and milk, and vegetables, and fruits, and grains. That he had more than he could even eat. There were so many foodstuffs. And then Narada Muni, he's traveling all over, he's circling the universe, going here and there, going in so many places, along with his sidekick, as we call him in Texas, sidekick, is Parvat Muni. They're traveling around liberated spacemen. So he said, let's see how my disciple Rugrari is doing. They came flying in on Vaikuntha Airlines. To see. So as soon as he sees his Guru Maharaj, what do? When you see your Guru Maharaj, you offer your dandavats, isn't it? Immediately, Guru Maharaj has come, dandavats. But he wasn't offering dandavats. What's going on? Oh, there were some ants on the path. He was very carefully picking up the ants before he offered his dandavats, you see. So just see, he was killing the animals halfway and enjoying their dying agonies, and now he's carefully picking up every little ant. This is friendly, you see. Doesn't he want to hurt a little ant? You see? It's like if there's some cockroach, the materialist will just step on it. Or spray it, psh, kill it. The devotee will think, how am I going to get this poor little creature and put him outside? You see, he doesn't want to kill him. The devotee is friendly even to the cockroach. So in this way, Prabhupada has very nicely elaborated on this verse. Perhaps there are some questions now, we can try to answer them. Okay, the first question. In Krishna consciousness, are so many activities, starting from temple program like Mangal Arti, Japa, Guru Puja, Bhagavatam, daytime services, Harinam, evening preaching. How should we prioritize? Still the day has only 24 hours. It's just impossible to do all. Well, it depends on your schedule. I mean, really not impossible to do all the activities. I mean, I come to Mangal Arti every day. I do have to skip Tulsi Puja because I'm worshipping Radha-damodar upstairs. We have our deities. I'm doing their Mangal. I do two Mangal Artis every day. I do miss Tulsi Puja. I usually don't miss Tulsi Puja. In most temples, we put Radha-damodar on the altar. It depends on the situation. In some temples, it varies, but in this the way it works here, we do. They get a separate arti upstairs, and we bathe and dress them upstairs, and bring them down after them. So usually I go to all the programs. Here item is Tulsi Puja. Thing is, you have to just do as much as practical. The whole point is you have to, but Mangal Arati is something everyone should attend. Everyone should attend the Bhagavatam class also, Prabhupada said. So as far as Mangal Arati, Tulsi Puja, Guru Puja, greeting of the deities, Bhagavatam class, everyone should come for all of those. And then as far as other services, you have to work that out with your authority. If you're in the according to what your spiritual master, your chapel authority has engaged you in, you do that. The whole point is to be engaged 24 hours a day. The devotee feels that 24 hours is not enough time to serve Krishna. He feels that I want to do more. So that's very good you feel this way. If everything is predetermined, everything is not predetermined, by the way. I'll explain in a minute. How would one strive or even know that they have to strive for something better? For example, if I'm content with knowledge I have about God, I know how would I be motivated to gain more knowledge about the Lord. There are two different channels. There's the spiritual and material channels. For a materialist, he's completely manipulated by the modes of nature. Everything is predetermined. When he will die, how much money he'll make, when he'll get sick, when he'll get married, who he gets married to, it's all predetermined by the laws of karma, like a puppet. But for a devotee, it's different. A devotee becomes the architect of his own destiny. In other words, you have the option to get out of karma chakra, to get out of the clutches of the material nature at any time by taking shelter of Guru and Krishna. And then what was predestined, it may not happen, because now you're dealing directly with Krishna instead of his material nature. So it's different for a devotee. He takes his destiny in his own hands. Previously he didn't have any control over it, but when you surrender to Krishna, now your destiny is in your own hands. You can choose whether you want to advance in Krishna consciousness or not. It's your choice. It's not, well, I'll become a pure devotee when it's predestined, or I'll get initiated when it's predestined. No. You have to make the choice. I want to take this process seriously. I want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. This is beyond the laws of predestination. This is breaking out of the laws of predestination. If the essence of the teachings of Gauranga Mahaprabhu is to chant and dance, to distribute the holy name, how do I inspire myself to perform this process? Prabhupada said, even if you don't feel the ecstasy for chanting and dancing, chant and dance anyway, and the ecstasy will come. Just do it, and the ecstasy will come. Well, I don't know. It seems a little bit too much. Just do it. Jump in there and in that kirtan. Really get into the kirtan and you'll feel the ecstasy. Today's dairy industry is very cruel. They torture cows, forcibly impregnate them, kill calves, and eventually send them to the slaughterhouse. So is taking milk and milk products justified? Are we supporting cruelty? Well, what did Prabhupada do? Did he take milk from the store? Yeah. So Prabhupada was doing the wrong thing? Prabhupada actually explains we require milk, developing the finer brain tissues for understanding Vedic wisdom. I had a long discussion about this issue with our Giriraj Maharaj one time in Los Angeles. And he really appreciated my viewpoint. I'm just trying to reflect on that, how we discussed it. The thing is, these cows are in a very difficult position, there's no doubt. But if we take their milk and we offer it to Krishna, they get the benefit. Their milk went for Krishna, you see. So the dairy industry is going to go on whether we support it or not. By taking that milk and offering it to Krishna, we get the necessary ingredient for developing our finer brain tissues of Vedic understanding. And those cows get the benefit of having the milk being used in Krishna's service. So some devotees have become vegans, but Papa didn't become a vegan. So I'm a follower of Papa. So I'm not a vegan. I take milk every day. Whether it comes from a protected cow or unprotected cow, I take milk every day because that's what Prabhupada did. I'm just following Prabhupada. That's it. If Prabhupada is Prabhupada wrong? Someone may say yes, Prabhupada is wrong, but I don't. Prabhupada is not wrong, as far as I'm concerned. How could Prabhupada be wrong? Yeah.
These cows being slaughtered, they have their karmic reaction, but by offering their milk to Krishna, they get liberation.
They're getting great benefit, it's a thing. So,
if you don't offer them, that is another cruelty.
Of course, I respect my god brothers who are vegans, that they're doing it for the sake of the cows, so I respect them for that, but I have a different opinion, that's all. So I'm following what Prabhupada did. Okay. Mushrooms are grown in the most hygienic conditions today. Why is it considered tamasic food? Actually, Prabhupada sometimes said that mushrooms were okay. Sometimes he said they weren't okay. Mushrooms are, you can go either way. I mean, I know when I was in Hong Kong, Tamal Krishna Goswami, mushrooms are very popular with the Chinese. And they were serving mushrooms and offering in our Hong Kong temple. I remember when I was there. So mushrooms are a little. Prabhupada, I go along with not taking them because Prabhupada discourages us from taking them. But Prabhupada also was a little lenient on it as well. So I recommend not taking them because Prabhupada also recommended not taking them. Instead of arguing and trying to find some loophole because you really like mushrooms, mushrooms are not going to save you at the time of death. So, why are you so attached to mushrooms, Prabhu? They really taste good on the pizza, And come on, you don't really need mushrooms. Why are you so worried about mushrooms? We have so many Diksha Gurus, so why do we need a Diksha Guru? Isn't Diksha Guru also telling about the teachings of Prabhupada? But why do we need a Diksha Guru anyway? Rupa Goswami didn't really know what he was talking about when he said we have to get initiated. Rupa Goswami surely didn't realize we don't really need a Diksha. We have to correct Rupa Goswami because it's stated in the Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, the first thing you do is you take shelter of Guru, then you get initiated. It's the second item on the pathway of devotional service given by Rupa Goswami. So I guess Rupa Goswami didn't realize he was making a mistake. Come on, people. Why did Prabhupada give Diksha? You see? You say, well, then there's a whole Ritvik thing. Well, Prabhupada is actually the Diksha Guru for everybody. We don't need the other clowns. We just need Prabhupada. They call us clowns, Or they call us demons, actually, because we're initiating. I'm a demon, according to the Ritviks, because I initiate disciples, right? So, am I right or wrong by initiating disciples? In fact, there's even a man here in Melbourne who came to my program, and he's initiated by Prabhupada, supposedly. He had a Ritvik initiation from Prabhupada, but is that really valid? Because if you look in the Veda base, you can hear the recording itself. Prabhupada said in November of 1977, he said, now I will no longer initiate disciples. Well, I guess Prabhupada made a mistake, right? He didn't follow the Ritviks. The Ritviks say, Prabhupada, you are initiating disciples because we say you are initiating disciples. Now, how you can say that you're not Prabhupada? Don't you know that we're the authorities here, not you? You see? Prabhupada, how you can say you're not initiating? We say you are. Therefore, you are because we say you are Prabhupada. But Prabhupada clearly states, you can read it in the Veda base, I will no longer initiate disciples. And he said, now they will become the disciples of my disciples. So if we actually want to follow Prabhupada's teachings, then the newcomers to ISKCON who came after Prabhupada disappeared, they have to become the initiated by Prabhupada's disciples. That's the order of Prabhupada himself. If Prabhupada is an authority, then you do what Prabhupada says. If you think that you're the authority, then you can say whatever you want to say. And much of these Ritvik people do. They think they're the authorities. They can say anything they want. They can twist the teachings to suit their own purposes. It reminds me of the old, you know, the story of the fox and the grapes? That's what it is, really. The fox, he was jumping for the grapes, but he couldn't reach them. He said, oh, they're sour. So these folks, they weren't qualified to be spiritual masters. So they said, nobody can be a guru. Because they weren't qualified. They said, therefore no one's qualified. That's what it really is. It's just sour grapes philosophy. I can't reach the grapes, therefore they're sour. I couldn't be a Diksha guru, therefore no one can be a Diksha guru. But does that really make sense? That because one person can't control his senses, nobody can control his senses? It's not logical. Okay. Despite keeping the altar clean, sometimes we see flies and cockroaches which obstruct the offering of bhoga. How to deal with this situation? Keep it very clean and they won't come. But if it's absolutely unmanageable, Prabhupada did allow us to kill them, but that's really to be avoided as much as possible. What do innocent foods mean, which Prabhupada mentions in his purport? That means no meat, fish, or eggs. That's innocent food. Vegetables, fruits, dairy products, and grains. How should be our mood in taking guidance from senior devotees? Appreciate that they're taking the time and trouble to help you. I have become stagnant after initiation due to not associating with advanced devotees and having less service due to my lifestyle. Please advise. Well, you have to associate with advanced devotees. If you can't do it from where you're living, then listen to their lectures on the internet. Or, you know, and then you have to just bend over backwards to find a way to do service whenever you can. And then Krishna will help you. You make one step towards Krishna, he'll take 10 steps towards you. If devotees misbehave, how to respond? Well, how could they be a devotee if they're misbehaving? You see, a devotee doesn't misbehave. Devotee means someone who behaves properly, isn't it? If they're misbehaving, they're certainly not a mature devotee, they're immature devotees. So it depends on your position. If you're a senior devotee, then you have to train them up. Otherwise, you may just have to tolerate it and think, why are they, you know, why are they doing this? If you see a devotee misbehaving, it's not that you should also misbehave. To distance yourself. It's like one of my disciples wrote me, they had a Christmas party at their farm community. One devotee dressed up as Santa Claus and they were singing Christmas songs, you know, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. And she was very disturbed by that. Actually, I'm happy she was disturbed by it. You see, it's ridiculous to sing, you know, Silent Night, you know, to sing instead of kirtan, to sing Christmas songs. It's ridiculous. Initiated devotees having a program with Santa Claus and singing Christmas carols. I mean, it's ridiculous. So I'm happy that she was disturbed. But because of her position, we just told her, you're not in a position to correct them, so just You know, don't make a big fuss about it because it's not your position. But sometimes you just have to tolerate it if it's not your position to say something. Devotees are doing weird things that are not proper. How to maintain your sadhana and enthusiasm when your health keeps going down? Well, I have to inform you, your health, the nature of your body is your health will go down in the long run. Every one of us, our health will go down to the point of death. That's natural. As you age, your health gradually deteriorates. It's something we just have to plan and be ready for psychologically. You see, I'm gonna get sick, old, and die. So you have to detach yourself from it and say, that's cool. It's just like your car. You drive a car, it gets worn out. What do? You get a new car. When it gets worn out, just like you buy a car and you think, this car is going to get old, it's going to start falling apart. Do you get depressed by it? No. You just understand, that's the nature of a car. It's going to get old and worn out, and eventually I'll get a new one. So in the same way, you have to see your body like a car, you see, not be disturbed. You either get another material body. If you're a sincere devotee, you'll get another material body. If you didn't quite achieve perfection, you'll get another material body to serve Krishna even more wonderfully in your next lifetime in the material world. Or if you've really gotten yourself fixed up, you go back to God and get a spiritual body. Either way, you're in good shape if you're seriously practicing Krishna consciousness. So there's no anxiety about deteriorating, dying, old body. You just take it as Krishna's mercy. It's like now, my body is the same age as Prabhupada when he came to America. I passed 70 years, you see. So the thing deteriorates after a while. You just got to live with it. That's the way it goes. That's the material nature. What factors contribute to one's success, be it spiritually or materially? Materially, it's due to your karma. Spiritually, it's due to your sincere desire to serve the Lord. Devotees are very peaceful vegetarian. How will they fight against Islamic extremists? In Vedic culture, you also have kshatriyas. And for example, let's say the world accepted Vaishnavism, and we had Vaishnava prime ministers, Vaishnava presidents. We still have armies. We'd have Vaishnava armies, kshatriyas. Is it? That's part of Vedic culture. Arjuna was kshatriya. Prabhupada is saying a peaceful environment is needed to be Krishna conscious, but in this age there is no peace. How do we understand? Well, we have to create a peaceful atmosphere. That's why we have devotee communities, to create a peaceful atmosphere. Today's purport is very heavy. How is it possible to be peaceful in the midst of so many disturbances? By taking shelter of the holy names, by taking shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, through initiation and obedience, then you will enter into a peaceful state of mind. How to lower expectations so there's no disappointment? Actually, we don't have to lower our expectations. And when you take this process seriously, you will achieve Brahma Saukhyamantvanantam. You will achieve a state of unlimited peace and happiness simply by taking shelter of Krishna. So I think you should raise your expectations, not lower them. You can achieve a state of mind that's so peaceful and so sublime. You see? It's like that verse in fifth chapter, 5:21 Bhagavad Gita. Bayas rasheshva saktat mang vindat jatmani yat sukham sabrahma yoga yuktat ma sukham akshayam ashnute. Such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always relishing the bliss within. In this way, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness, for he always concentrates on the Supreme. So why don't you just do that? Become a liberated soul. Why don't you become a liberated soul? And Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita. You say, well, I can't do that because I have a job or because I'm a householder. No. You can become a liberated soul. Everyone, as Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, relishing unlimited happiness within yourself at every minute. You just have to follow the instructions of Gita letter by letter. Do exactly what Krishna says and you'll achieve that state of unlimited happiness. How to get ecstasy from the Hare Krishna mantra? Chant it carefully and faithfully and you will relish the bliss. I understand that associating with Maya is not good for our spiritual life. I am quite young and sometimes feel like to enjoy a little bit of Maya. Is that okay? Absolutely not. Kick it out with boot. You're cheating yourself. Don't mess around with Maya. If you give her an inch, she'll take a mile. Then she takes a mile, she'll take 100 miles. Pretty soon you'll be completely fallen down in the material dimensions. What is that slope? Jayato vishayam pungsam sangate shupajayate sangan sajate kama kamat krodo vijayate krodat bhavati sangmaha sangmahatsmati vibhrama smati bangshat vadina sho burina shat pranashati. That's simply contemplating Maya. Even if you just contemplate Maya, it's all finished. Krishna says, while contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. From such attachment, lust develops. From lust, anger arises. From anger, delusion. From delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, bloop, one falls down again into the material pool. Even if you just contemplate Maya, you are playing with fire, Prabhu. You're playing with fire, Mataji, just by contemplating Maya. You can find yourself caught up once again in the material cycle of birth and death. So, yeah.
Why one is thinking young people don't leave the body?
Huh?
Why one is thinking that they are young? Doesn't the young people leave the body also?
Someone thinks, well, I got a long life ahead of me, I'm young, but wait a minute. They asked Prabhupada, why are you giving sannyas to young men? Prabhupada said, what did Prabhupada say? Oh, why not? Don't you give it only to the old? And Prabhupada said, what does old mean? Just on the verge of death. So who can say they're not on the verge of death? Therefore, you have to understand that even though you're young, you could be on the verge of death. How many young people die every day in Australia? Zero? Many young people die every day in this country. So therefore, don't think I'm young and I can enjoy now and take it serious later. You have to understand, I have to become serious now about spiritual perfection because I can die, I can slip a banana peel walking down the stairs and hit my head and die. This modified banana peel can kill me. You see? So you better take it seriously now. You get out in traffic, you're taking your life in your hands every time you get in your car. How many people die in car wrecks in Australia every day? Many, many people die every day in automobile accidents. Devotees also. Even my dear godbrother, Tamal Krishna Goswami, just riding in a taxi, he was killed. You see? Just riding in a taxi. So, you know, death can come at any time. Of course, he wasn't really killed. He lives forever. Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaja Ki Jai. We sometimes kill ants and other insects. Do we get sinned by killing ants? And if you kill them unnecessarily, yes, you will get a reaction. So don't kill them unnecessarily. You might have to take birth as an ant or a cockroach. Be careful. Guru groupism. Guru sex is killing ISKCON. Is Vritvic movement solution to this? No. Guru groupism is also not good, that we now have a little sect anymore, we're not really one movement. No, the Vritvic movement is not a solution to that because some devotees feel the Vritvics are better than quarreling disciples in the name of Guru and breaking ISKCON. No, both of them are bad. To have little break ISKCON and different Guru sects is bad, and to have a Vritvic, and Vritvic is also a sect. To have All of these are deviations from Prabhupada, whether you have gurus splitting off and doing their own thing and not working under the GBC and having their own little separate, you know, broken off branches. These are all broken off branches. Guru sect is a broken off branch. Ritviks are a broken off branch. So one broken off branch is bad, another broken off branch is also bad. We have to all work together under, according to the teachings given by Prabhupada. We have to follow, we follow the GBC, the Governing Body Commission. This is Prabhupada's instruction to us to work together under the GBC's supervision and guidance. So by doing this, then we remain perfectly situated in proper Krishna consciousness. Well, another Ritvik question. Is the Ritvik philosophy based on scriptures? No, it's not based on scripture. Prabhupada's books clearly say that one who is now the disciple, he becomes the next guru. Ritvikism is a concoction. It's not based on scripture. Evam parampara praptam. Imam rajarshayo vidu. This disciplic succession has been going on since the beginning of the universe. And the Ritviks say now it is stopped. No more disciplic succession. It came all the way from Brahma to Narada to Vyas to Madhvacharya. It came down for thousands of years and now with Prabhupada, stop. No more disciplic succession. This is not Shastric. Disciplic succession goes on through eternity. And they say, no, it stops with Prabhupada. There's no more disciplic succession after Prabhupada. Prabhupada never said that. He said, the one who is my disciple, he is the next guru. So, no, they are not. It's not based on scripture. Why is it happening? They're just envious, that's all. Sour grapes philosophy. If I can't be a guru because I wasn't qualified, then nobody can be a guru. You see? Just they're envious, that's all. So any more questions from the internet we have? What is meant by satisfaction in Krishna consciousness? To relish the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shamakunda from South Africa. How do we balance the instruction given in this purport with Srila Prabhupada saying a Krishna conscious businessman should aim to be the most successful businessman? Prabhupada did say a Krishna conscious businessman can aspire to become the wealthiest businessman in the whole world. But he's not. But he's using the money to build temples, to build a Mayapur temple, or whatever it may be, you see. That's why. If you aspire to, let's say you're a businessman and you want to, you know, you want to fund the Mayapur temple project, and your desire to make as much money as possible, that's great, go for it. You see. So, but for one's own comfort, you know, to have your own palace in suburban Melbourne, no. Not for that, but for Krishna, if you want to make a lot of money for Krishna, that's very good. That's transcendental. Okay, let's see what else, any more came in. James, why are there so many different ways of serving God that have been passed on from the various prophets? This is a misinterpretation of the followers of these prophets. Actually, the self-realized souls teach one thing and full surrender to the Lord. I was raised as a Christian, and they don't understand what Christ's teachings actually are. Christ is teaching exactly the same thing that Krishna teaches. Krishna says, surrender to me, and Christ says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. It's the same thing from the perspective of the follower. That's all. Let me be fully surrendered to your will. That's what Christ is teaching. Be fully surrendered to the will of God. He's teaching exactly what Krishna is teaching. But the followers, because they want sense gratification, they twist it and they tweak it to make, it's no longer religion actually, it becomes religiosity. Real religion, the word religion means to reconnect with God. That's actual religion. These things are not religions. They have sense gratification. You see, just like these Islamic terrorists, like that when that terrorist, he assassinated the Russian ambassador to Turkey in the art museum. He meant, God is great, and he assassinated the Russian ambassador. So is that God consciousness? Is he? No. In the name of God, they're simply pursuing their own sense gratification. That's it. So this is a deviation from, this is not religion. Real religion is one, to become a lover of God, fully surrendered to the will of God. It's only one religion. Whoever teaches that, he is a bona fide prophet, a bona fide saint. If others who mix sense gratification in, they're bogus. Yes.
Because they don't have any disciplined succession or true followers, they are not getting the correct message.
Yes, disciplined succession is required. Without disciplined succession, you need to have a line of pure teachers who can show by their example what it means to fully surrender to God. So we're fortunate that we had Srila Prabhupada teach us by his example. This is called acharya, one who teaches by example, how to actually be a pure devotee. You see, if we actually can do what Prabhupada did, in being fully surrendered to his spiritual master, then we'll also be pure devotees. So how many pure devotees should we have in ISKCON? How many acharyas do you think we should have? 20? 100? What is your idea? How many acharyas should we have? Ideal examples. You know what Prabhupada told us in Mayapur? He said, now we are 10,000. And then we will grow to 100,000. Then we will grow to 1 million. Then we will grow to 10 million. There will be no scarcity of acharyas. So my dear ISKCONites, your duty as a follower of ISKCON is to become an acharya, an ideal pure devotee of the Lord. That's what Prabhupada wants you to do. He wants you to be an ideal acharya, every one of us, you see. Otherwise, where are we going to get the acharyas? Are we going to import them from India? Where are we going to get the acharyas, you see? Prabhupada said, now there will be no scarcity of acharyas. We will go to 10 million and there will be no scarcity. Prabhupada's vision of ISKCON is 10 million acharyas. You see, that's when we can actually culturally lead the whole world. You see, and we have 10 million acharyas. That's what we need. So how are we going to do it? Well, where do you start? Where does charity begin? At home. We ourselves must become acharyas. We must conquer mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals. Acharya means Goswami, one who has conquered the pushings. Vatsya vegam manasa krodha vegam jiva vegam udaro pasta vegam etan vidan yo vishaheta dira sarvam vipimam pratipim shushishya. One who can conquer mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals is competent to make disciples all over the world. So we need to become like them, you see. Actual Goswamis, not Godasas. So this verse today is very, very helpful. How to control our, how to earn money in the right consciousness, how to eat in the right consciousness, how to live in the right consciousness, how to think in the right consciousness, and how to be a friend to others in the right consciousness. If we will follow this purport and verse very sincerely and carefully, then we will become acharyas. That's a thing. So we thank you very much for tuning in. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.